we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Metro, read by Peter Donaldson.
A woman was overcharged while buying fruit and vegetables from a Jersey supermarket because the shop assistant's breasts were resting on the scales. The supermarket's chief executive said, "I decided to handle the matter myself."
And our thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Andy Hamilton and Miles Jupp. And opposite them on my left, Phil Jupitus and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, listen to this. Panic on the streets of London. Andy, who had a smashing time when they came to London?
Well, this is about the student right. Of course, they attacked Conservative Party headquarters and the police were totally unprepared. Funny that, in the light of the spending review. when Cameron rings the chief constable to complain, he's probably to say, "Well, yeah, we just didn't have enough policemen, and you know, if we end up having even fewer policemen, then you could end up with Conservative HQ being attacked every week." That's my theory. It was a bit confusing for me because I got home and I switched on the news. I wasn't quite sure what I was watching. I saw a young lad who was a bit overexcited, and I worked out it was the tuition fees demo, and he was kicking a window. But the window was sort of slightly above him. He was sort of kicking upwards like a sort of slightly kung fu kick. And the result was, when it broke, it fell on him, basically. And I thought, well, he's obviously not studying physics.
The students attacked, it was the Conservative Party campaign headquarters. So it wasn't the actual headquarters, it was their campaign headquarters, which is a bit like the serfs and the peasants invading the Lord of the Manor's house and smashing up his gazebo. You know, it's like we're going to burn these promotional leaflets and we're going to bring down their entire election campaign they won some time ago. We didn't think this through, no.
Well, they started going the wrong building, didn't they? They went to the wrong building chanting, "We will not be moved. Oh, sorry.
But the thing that struck me was I watched Newsnight and all the politicians were saying, well, everybody agrees that students should make a contribution. And I thought, when did this principle begin, that if the taxpayer funds something, you have to pay it back if you benefit? Because we don't apply it to, you know, policemen who become highly paid security consultants. We don't ask them to pay their wages back. We don't ask doctors, you know, who we've trained at the taxpayer's expense, who make a fortune when they go private. We don't. Tony Blair, we paid him to be Prime Minister. He's now making a fortune on the lecture circuit only because he was our Prime Minister. He should pay his wages back. It's the same principle.
We used to have student protests when I was at university, late 70s and early 80s, but these kids don't know how lucky they are, because when I was a student on protests, we didn't even have a genuine grievance. Now, these lot, they've got something to complain about and no political analysis whatsoever.
Why is it whenever I hear Jeremy talking about the political atmosphere of the 1980s, I can hear the Hovis music in my head?
It's like that on the news. They keep saying, yes. Da, 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 da. On the news, they're saying, please. It's brilliant on the news, the way they keep saying, yes, please believe, they've captured the ringleaders. They think, no, they haven't. They've got the kids with asthma who couldn't get away quickly. People like me who are just wheezing and breathless and get trapped by one of the lifts and then it's assumed that you're a ringleader.
Nick Clegg says it would have been very easy to stick to his pledge and resist tuition fees. And you think, yeah, so much braver to take the tough, courageous decision to do nothing at all.
That is hilarious, though, with Clegg, isn't it? Yeah. That the only thing that he got right in his election was the prediction he made about riots. Yeah. Everything else was a lie.
Did you see Harriet Harman's attempt to skewer Clegg? in Parliament. She tried to use a sort of student-y analogy and basically said, oh, yeah, we all know what it's like when you're at Freshers' Week in university and you sort of fall in with the sort of wrong sort of guy and end up having some sort of experience that you regret with him, using that as sort of an analogy of his relationship with Cameron. Presumably there's someone that was at York University in the late 60s going, oh, no, it was Harmon. I'm going to have to clean this thing again and again.
It was a great moment on Newsnight. They had Simon Hughes on, and Jerry Baxman said, so how are you going to vote? And behind Simon Hughes, and he couldn't see it, they'd got a large picture of Simon Hughes with a placard saying, I will always vote no against tuition fees. And he goes, well, I haven't made up my mind yet. Protest against the increase in tuition fees ended with 200 rioting students breaking into Conservative Party headquarters. London hasn't seen so many students on the streets since Hollyoaks held open auditions.
Question now for Sandy.
Yes.
Name two characters in Hollyoaks.
I've never knowingly seen any soap opera.
She can tell jokes about it.
Not even Coronation. No, darling, I can read jokes about it. I've never even seen Coronation Street or what's the one where they're all terribly sad and shout a lot?
EastEnders.
I think that's Euripides, isn't it? I like the idea at the end of Euripides, it now goes, doof, doof, doof.
Oedipus says, your family.
It was me mum. Doof, doof, doof.
Miles, who tried not to talk bull in a china shop this week?
Our Prime Minister, David Cameron, who has gone to China.
2 points. Three.
Well, he went to China. He's part of a sort of a trade mission. That's the point, is to go and drum up business. And he's got £750 million deal for Rolls-Royce to make something. And, I mean, they've said, are you going to ask about human rights? That's the main thing. And he said, of course we're going to... You know, we're going to talk about a lot of things. I mean, there'll be a lot to get through, obviously, but of course we're going to talk about human rights delivered in the same way that someone might say, well, of course we will eventually get round to clearing out the garage. rather non-committal attitude. I seem to remember John Prescott, he went to China and he came back and said, oh, you can get better crispy duck in Hull. Whereas Cameron's come back saying, oh, you know, we can just as easily be complicit in human rights abuses much closer to home, which is very interesting.
Well, it wasn't good him talking about human rights when Bush has just said that Britain was involved in the waterboarding.
Did you see the interview with Bush publicising the book? And they said, why did you sanction this? He said, well, I was advised it was legal. And he said, well, he told you it was legal. He said, well, the lawyers, he said, and I'm not a lawyer, and he is. He's got a degree in law.
Is it one of those online ones where you send the cheque and then you completely forget?
And he said, I'm not a lawyer.
Can I just say on the subject of George Bush's biography, has anybody actually read it?
I have. It's interesting. No verbs.
I like that he said he really realised he was no longer president when he had to pick up his own dog poo. And you think, what are you saying, that when you were president somebody reminded you to use a bag? What is the...
Why was he doing dog poo?
Right. I have to say, on the waterboarding thing, he said it was essential for getting information. And the only thing I did think was it would certainly liven up interviews on the One Show.
Tell me when your book comes out!
Don't be a fool. It's not you we're after. It's the publishers.
Can I just say about Cameron's trade mission? He's claiming it's been a huge success. But what sort of trade mission is it that goes to China and comes back without a single panda? How you measure success?
Nixon must be spinning in his grave.
He's not got one.
Our delegation just looked like a school field trip, and Vince Cable was the one teacher trying to keep them under control. It was sort of like one of those careworn teachers that you're very fond of, but you run rings around because they're absolutely useless.
Can I just say, this is very thrilling, we've had an email from China. It says, hi there, a huge fan of your programme from the podcast, despite could not fully understand the panellists' saying, and I'm with you, me too. Anyway, this gentleman wants to tell us a joke about Cameron being in China, and he reminds us that Mr. Cameron will be meeting both China's Premier Wen Jiabao and President Hu Jintao, and he says, but when he gets back, can he really remember when he met who? Yeah.
I think you'll find it's whom.
Oh, sorry. David Cameron's attempts to discuss human rights issues in China whilst on a trade visit this week were undermined by George Bush's assertion that the UK had benefited from intelligence obtained through torture. David Cameron encouraged the Chinese to embrace greater political freedom, and they responded by saying the next time the students start marching, they'd be happy to lend him a tank. 2 points to Miles. Phil, where has a removed seat caused a stand-up row?
Oh, this is... come on, your man, isn't it?
Oh, it's Phil Wallace.
Phil Wallace. Was it the first appeal that he lost? Or is this the actual
he's
trial?
Waiting for judicial review of an election court. I didn't know there was such a thing. The election court ruled the election was invalid and he's therefore no longer an MP.
But the reason you don't know about it is because it hasn't been convened for 99 years. I don't know what they've been doing. Very dusty. Terribly dusty.
Does it mean there's been some old bloke sat somewhere in Whitehall waiting, waiting... waiting, and when he finally got up, both his hips went BAM! Oh, bugger!
But do you know what they have accused him of? What
is it? Fibbing. Making things up in his electoral literature.
They were worried, seemingly, because the Tories had a Muslim candidate and a lot of the Muslim vote was also going to the Liberals, and his election agent said, we need to get the white folks angry.
Yeah.
So they put on some pillowcases with eye holes cut out and they went round and they said, that Lib Dem, he's secretly a member of Al-Qaeda and he's one of Saladin's hordes and they're about to sack Jerusalem.
Well, they were photoshopping pictures of the opponent, Elwin Watkins, wooing Islamic extremists.
Ooh.
I mean, it was almost convincing, though. I think the long beard on Lembit Opik was a bit of a giveaway. And Harriet Harman has been, of course, leading the Labour Party.
Well, she banished him from her kingdom.
She has.
And Labour MPs, a lot of them are very angry because they think there's a very important precedent here that the treatment of Phil Wallace is a sort of attack on the ancient Westminster tradition of being able to misrepresent your opponents. Which lies at the heart of our political life. So.
No, she insisted that Phil Wallace has no prospect of returning to Labour politics. But then, after the last 13 years, neither has Labour. She's been leading the Labour Party while Ed Miliband is on paternity leave. She'll continue to stand in until he returns from the birthing fields of his distant home planet. Labour MPs have been staging a backbench rebellion in support of former MP for Oldham East and Saddleworth, Phil Wallace, who was stripped of his seat for lying about his opponent. His campaign leaflet included a photoshopped picture which made it look as though Watkins was being arrested by armed police. Even worse, Wallace has also claimed that Watkins has rigged X Factor. Wallace was born in 1959, the son of a dinner lady and bungle from Rainbow. If he could make stuff up. 2 points to Phil. Jeremy, who is trying to make welfare welfare?
Oh, this is old Ian Duncan syndrome, who he's been beavering away. He's been the poverty czar, or whatever a poorer version of a czar is, poverty kaiser, for some years. And then the Tories get in. He's now Secretary of State for Workhouses and Pensions. And he's come up with various wheezes. One is that the jobless should be forced to do community service, which is, you know, better than keeping them in prison, obviously, and more humane than shooting them, and more humiliating. See, the thing is, with all this, we want to get unemployed people into jobs. That would be a great idea if there were any jobs. I mean, the government hasn't even been able to find worthwhile jobs for Liberal Democrats to do.
This three strikes and you're out policy. So if you turn down three job offers, you could see your benefits stopped for 3 years. I mean, that's a long time. Think how much has changed in the last three. 3 years ago, Michael Jackson had a tour to do. George Bush had power and Nick Clegg had principles. I mean, it's quite a lot. Apparently they want to introduce, I like this expression, punishments for the work shy.
Yeah.
I like the idea of... Me, a job, and I couldn't possibly... Oh, no, let someone else go first. Employment. Oh,
it's a very old-fashioned word, work shy. Do you think ill people are the health shy?
Yeah.
The one in the Telegraph, the new word in the Telegraph that really confuses me, they use it a few times, are the coping classes.
Have Who you are seen they?
This? Well, exactly. I mean, am I coping class? I mean, I'm middle class, but I have a tendency to panic. So, I'm not really coping class.
No.
The coping class, surely they make barrels, don't they?
The Archbishop of Canterbury has waded into the row. He warned that changes could drive people into a downward spiral of uncertainty and even despair. And I did think, to be fair, you can't really criticise people who avoid work when you openly acknowledge that your boss is invisible.
There is some sense in what poor old IDS is trying to do, in as much as he wants to simplify the system, because it is incredibly complicated if you're trying to survive on benefits. And actually, it's a bit like charity. I mean, they talk about the cost of the benefit system, but they don't tell you that a large part of that goes in administration and not much of it actually makes its way through to the recipients. It'd probably be easier to have an honesty box on every street corner just with money in it, and those people who need it just go and take some. It'd probably be cheaper, fairer and easier to administer.
Like the 2p's near the counter in petrol stations.
Yeah, it's like when people leave out their homemade jam in the countryside or their run of beans. We've got rather a glut of these, please help yourself. We've left a little honesty box there. But instead of run of beans or homemade jam, just some cash.
The Coalition have unveiled plans to overhaul the benefits system. Changes include providing greater incentives for work, cutting benefits for those who refuse work, and making the long-term unemployed complete work placement schemes. There are fears people may accept offers of work and then behave badly so that they're quickly dismissed, a technique known as the Adrian Childs daybreak scam. The Work and Pension Secretary, Ian Duncan-Smith, wants to consolidate the existing 30 work-related benefits into a single universal payment to be known as gruel. And at the end of round one, I can tell you the scores are Andy and Miles have got 4 points, but Phil and Jeremy are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a cutting from the Evening Times.
A new £4.6 million health clinic has opened its doors in Hamilton. The chairwoman of the NHS Lanarkshire Health Partnership commemorated the event by unveiling a plague.
Our thanks to Susan Jensen for sending us that. Andy, whose collision created a very big celebration?
Oh, this is the Large Hadron Collider, which Hadron collided. They created a mini Big Bang. In fact, more than one. And they're very excited. And I don't know if you remember, about a year ago, there was a big tabloid scare about these scientists. They said there was a risk that this experiment could create a black hole and the whole world would disappear. I'd love to have seen the health and safety risk assessment for that. Staff should be made aware there is the risk of annihilating the planet. I suppose we have to brace ourselves for the articles that will argue that, you know, here they go again, these scientists, they're playing God, which always struck me that God might quite like that. Well, it's a sort of form of flattery, isn't it? Oh, they're playing me. Look at them. Unless he's very insecure. Then you'll think they're scabbing. But
maybe he didn't want a collider. Maybe he wanted Brad Pitt.
You want somebody with some gravitas if you're God to play you.
You'd want Peter Donaldson.
Oh, yes.
Peter Donaldson.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes, you'd be very good, actually.
I'm just the voice of doom.
Oh, yeah, you'd be perfect, absolutely.
Or the shipping forecast, as we call it. What was the name of that group, the something
the
ion?
The heavy iron
the
alert.
The heavy iron group or something that said that shooting these two lead particles at each other and creating this weird gluon plasma could lead to the destruction of everything as we know it. And you know what? That's the glass half empty thing. On the positive side, we might just lose Switzerland. And I think people, when they heard about it, they think, worth a shot.
I'm not a killjoy, but I do rather think that just sort of deliberately recreating the conditions of the Big Bang is, I think that's quite backwards looking.
It's retro. It's just very, very nostalgic, isn't it?
They get protons and neurons, don't they? And they're melted down, they make quarks and gluons. And the whole thing is, do they make soup? I mean, that's the thing that they are making, which seems to be an extraordinarily expensive way of making soup. I mean, on our wedding
list,
quarks
are held together by gluons, aren't they?
Is that the way it works?
Well, I haven't completely understood the science. I don't know if gluons are bigger than croutons. I think it's a sort of
Well, it's just an easier way of getting at it, isn't it? The whole,
yeah.
So we were given a sort of handheld blender. It was on our wedding list. And it's excellent for making soup, I have to say. You can just put it straight in the pan. You have to wear an apron or stand back. But nonetheless, it's very, very good bit of kit.
But I don't know why they've made it all so complicated. Why could they not do the whole thing with a salad spinner and some Maltesers? I think it's
the numbers were fantastic. The temperature generated is 10 trillion degrees.
I've had pasties the inside of which were that hot.
Oh, no, you want to know about hot interiors of food? The Breville sandwich. Oh. That's like eating lava.
You can't tell what's the cheese and what's the inside of your mouth collapsing.
Scientists at the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva have successfully recreated conditions a millionth of a second after the Big Bang. They have been searching for the infinitesimally small God particle, also known as Clegg's conscience. 2 points to Andy. Miles, whose mastery of online maps was borderline?
Ah, well, this is an extraordinary story where what happened is... Well, in the paper it said that what they'd done is...
Darling, just get to the point.
No, you're... Sandy, you're stifling me.
Well, I've got to sit somewhere. Oh, I love the wireless. Boy.
I keep dropping my biro.
As catchphrases go, that is a belter. Get off me, it's toxic, I'll drop me biro.
Nicaragua, they went and invaded a bit of Costa Rica, and they did so because Google Maps had put the boundary in the wrong place, and they felt that they had to go and reclaim it. It's easy to do, because I did the same thing on Google Street View. I didn't realise it wasn't live footage, and I thought my neighbours had put the recycling bin out on the wrong day. And I went round and bricked up their house. I didn't. I put a note under the windscreen wiper. But, I mean, I was that close, yeah.
There were two Google mappers, weren't there, this week? Because there's an island that is disputed between Spain and Morocco, and Spain said it's Spanish, and Google said it belonged to Morocco, and Wikipedia said it belonged to Thailand.
Apparently, a Google spokesman said that while it strived to make its maps accurate, by no means should they be used as a reference to decide military actions.
It was lucky. I mean, it could have started a war between Nicaragua and Costa Rica, but luckily Costa Rica doesn't have an army. They disbanded it in 1948 and ploughed all that money into education, which means they now have very high standards of literacy.
It's apparently Costa Rica is the most stable country in Central America. It's a bit like saying Prince Andrew is the most attractive member of the royal family. Nicaragua is using a mistake on Google Maps to justify its invasion of a 1.7-mile stretch of Costa Rica. Google's defence was that cartography is hard. The internet error has caused a diplomatic incident. Costa Rica has unfriended Nicaragua and refused to respond to any of its pokes. I know, Phil, I have no idea what I just said. Phil, who won't be donating any diet tips?
So you got a question about fat blokes, so you gave it to me. Thanks for that, Toxic. Doctors are complaining at the standard of organs they're getting these days from the unfit masses of the United Kingdom. People are too fat and too old who are donating organs, which is why I think this is how it's going to dovetail with Ian Duncan-Smith's welfare reform. There is a fourth strike we don't know about. OK, strike one, if you reject a job, you get your benefit cut for 3 weeks. Strike two, for 6 weeks. Strike three, you get your benefit cut for a year. Strike four, we harvest your organs.
At our local church, we used to have an organ harvest festival once a year. And we'd have to give kidneys and things to take round to the old people's homes.
The thing is, if the doctors want the organs to be healthier, right, then the donors will take better care of themselves, then they'll live to be much older, and then they'll be too old when they die for the organs to be of any use. I mean, it's a sort of double-edged thing, isn't it?
Can't they just trim the fat off them like the butcher would?
Yes, Jeremy. Yes, they can.
I mean, you want a big liver, don't you? You want a big alcoholic's liver that's all big so that you've got something to work with, don't you?
Or indeed mine, which is roughly the size of the Isle of Sheppey. Look, this whole organ harvesting thing, it's a 6.5 dozen thing, because with me, OK, maybe my organs aren't in the best shape, but once you've removed them all, I make a cracking 5-berth speedboat.
The other thing we can do is we could just start looking further afield for organs. If a sheep doesn't smoke, I mean, its lungs are probably healthier than human lungs that do. So that would be not a bad place to go. Of course, that will drive up the cost of haggis, which won't be popular in all constituencies. But, I mean, we could just look further afield.
Haggis has got everything in. You could probably just whack a haggis in somebody and do, do every major job, really. Yeah.
Doctors have warned that patients are frequently being let down by poor quality organs. Oh, we've all been there. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
This is from Andrew Wills, and it's from the Daily Telegraph website. It reports about a story that the Irish government were handing out blocks of cheddar to every family. And it says, one angry Dubliner said, "This is just crackers." No, it gets worse. "The scheme is full of holes. This is the last straw. It's really grated on the whole community."
Mr. Chapman.
This is sent in by Ian Forsyth. It's from the Northern Echo. It's about a court hearing for a chap up for receiving stolen goods. It says, "An interview with Ms. Lowry, prosecuting, said Todd drew attention to a £200 watch he was wearing and said, 'Why would I be burgling if I can afford a watch like this?' Police made inquiries and found the watch had been stolen from a house in March."
Mr. Jupiter.
This one's sent in by Rhett Harris from Edinburgh, from a TV guide listing for a documentary about bizarre health problems. And it says this: "Masturbation addict Russell embarks on a road trip across America, sampling weird and wonderful treatments in an attempt to finally kick his habit. Can he pull it off?"
Mr. Hardy.
I don't know who sent this in, because I've lost a bit of paper. I don't know what newspaper it is, but it's a real bit of newspaper, and it's in the small ads. "Toilet brush, cheap plastic type, only used a few times. £1.20 or near offer, and a phone number. And then toilet seat needs a really good clean." Same phone number.
Let's take a look at the final score. Phil and Jeremy have got 14 points, but this week's winners are Andy and Miles with 15. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Daily Echo sent in by Susan Brown.
"A burglar has been caught after leaving a personal name card in a getaway van which he'd registered in his own name. He's received a 52-week prison sentence and has also been ordered to take part in a thinking skills programme."
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Miles Jupp, Phil Jupitus and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chair's script is written by Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark and Gareth Gwynn, with additional material by Nathan Caton and James Kettle. The producer was Sam Bryant.